verses 1 through 3. And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Darius that the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah in the fourth day of the ninth month, even in Chislu, when they had sent unto the house of God Sherezer and Regimelech and their men to pray before the Lord and to speak unto the priests which were in the house of the Lord of hosts and to the prophets, saying, should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself as I've done these so many years? Here's a question. The thing about this is that God's going to answer their question in this chapter. In our last message, we considered chapter 6. And in that sixth chapter, we saw the tenth and the final vision of Zechariah, the four chariots with the horses in them, which we learn were the four spirits of the heavens sent in judgment. We also studied the crowning of the high priest, Joshua. And we also considered the man who's called the branch, the one who should build the temple of the Lord and be crowned with many crowns and bear the glory and rule upon his throne, Jesus Christ. Today, as we come to the seventh chapter, is a question asked that we read, and it brings a stinging response from the Lord of hosts to the people of the land, the remnant who returned under Ezra and Nehemiah after the 70 years captivity. And I think this chapter is a great lesson for every one of us as God's children. Verse 1 says, and it came to pass on the fourth year, in the fourth year of King Darius, who was the king of Persia, that the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah in the fourth day of the ninth month, even in Chislu. The fourth year of King Darius of Persia was 2 years almost after the time recorded in the very first chapter. And it's near 2 years after the foundation of the temple was laid. I want to read a verse from Haggai, chapter 2 and verse 18, concerning the laying of the foundation of the temple. Haggai 2:18, consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Those things are not written just to take up space. They're for our learning, so we get a proper idea of the time. And it was going to be 2 more years before the temple was finished. Turn with me back to the book of Ezra, chapter 6, and verses 14 and 15. Ezra, chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. And the elders of the Jews built it, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet, and Zechariah the son of Iddo, and they built it and finished it, according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus, and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. So the foundation was laid. 2 years went by, and we got more to go before the building is finished. And today we're looking at what happened in the fourth year of Darius. So the work of the temple was going forward. And there must have been a great deal of expectation and happiness on the part of the Jews that believed it was going to be completed. So it was at this time, according to verse 1, that the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah in the fourth day of the ninth month, even in Chislu. Chislu was roughly corresponds to our October and November. In verses 2 and 3, when they had sent unto the house of God Sherezer and Regimelech and their men to pray before the Lord and to speak unto the priests which were in the house of the Lord of hosts, and to the prophets, saying, should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself as I've done these so many years? Now, they, in verse 2, apparently means the people of the land, and perhaps even the prophets and the priests, sent these men to the house of God. And the prophets at that time were who? They were Zechariah and Haggai and Malachi that were preaching to the remnant. And we don't know anything about Sherezer and Regimelech and those men that were with them. These men's names are mentioned only here, nowhere else in all the scripture. So they were sent to pray before the Lord and to speak unto the priests which were in the house of the Lord of hosts and to the prophets, saying, should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself as I've done these many years? Good question. On the seventh day of this fifth month, according to 2 Kings chapter 25, Solomon's temple was burnt to the ground by the invading army of Nebuchadnezzar. Actually, it was his chief over the army, whose spokesman. They had besieged Jerusalem, and we read from 2 Kings 25, verses 8 and 9, about the burning of the house of the Lord. Let's read, please. And in the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, which is the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem. And he burnt the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all the houses of Jerusalem, and every great man's house, burnt he with fire. So the fifth month, the seventh day of that month, was a sad, sorrowful, horrible day for the people in Jerusalem. And apparently, as they'd been taken to Babylon, all the time they were there, they wept on that day in remembrance of the burning of the temple. And that's the reason for the question. Now the Lord answers them in verses 4 and 5. Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, Speak unto all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years, did you at all fast unto me, even to me? To the people, he asks the question through the mouth of this prophet, Zechariah. The people must have sent them. They had consulted with the priest. There's little doubt about that. So the Lord said, when you did that all those 70 years, was it for me? Did you do it to me? The fast they kept was not something God had commanded them to do, but it was done according to their own opinion and desires. The fast was not directed to the glory of the Lord of hosts, and therefore it was nothing to him whether they fasted or didn't fast. The Lord talks about an acceptable fast in Isaiah 58, verses 3 through 7. Let's read that. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? Our Lord taught us, saying, when you fast, anoint your head so that you don't appear unto others to fast. I was at a meeting at the Plaque Road Baptist Church in North Pole some years ago, and Brother Gene C. preached a message about fasting. And he was talking about something that the pastor of the Badger Road Baptist Church had done for years. He said he didn't declare fast. He just lived in that way. When people had needs, he went to meet the needs while doing without his own needs at the same time. He said most people would never say that this man was fasting, but indeed he was. The Lord went on to say, in verse 6, is not this the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house, out that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. If it costs you a meal or two, or if you couldn't afford to buy a new coat because you bought someone a coat who was poor, That's what the Lord's interested in. These people were not interested in this kind of fast. I believe we're supposed to fast. Jesus didn't say, if you fast. He said, when you fast. Do you fast? Notice in verse 6 what the Lord continues. And when you did eat, and when you did drink, did not ye eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? As they ate their common meals or at their feasts or festivals, this is a question. Did you only eat and drink for your own refreshment and pleasure and not for the glory of God? No matter what we do, Paul said, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. When you go to work tomorrow, it ought to be for the glory of God. When you gather in your household, it ought to be for the glory of God. And not just for the satisfaction of ourselves. I was going through a parcel of articles written by Brother Mike Burnham. And I was trying to correct one of the articles, and it had about 70 pages. And the title of the article is, How Can I Glorify God in My Job? And I thought it was marvelous. Brother Mike, who's gone into the heavens, would tell you today that whatever you do, if you go to work, that God ought to be glorified in it. Even if you don't like your job. Brother Rick's the boss. He don't like his job, but he has to do it anyway. Look at verse 7 in our text. Should you not hear the words which the Lord has cried by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity and the cities thereof round about her when men inhabited the south and the plain? Some of you can remember, call this to remembrance, when you were living in on the top shelf back in Jerusalem. And there were many, many people around. And things were just wonderful. Remember what the prophets had to say? It would have been better for you if you'd paid close attention to what they had said as the Lord sent them to preach to you. If you'd done so, wouldn't it have prevented your captivity if they'd heeded God's word spoken by those sent by Him? There would have been no occasion of fasting and mourning about the destruction of the temple. Because they warned you again and again, preaching my word. Don't you remember? You were having a great time. Things were good. Crops were good. Everybody was making money. You had a bank account. Everything was going well. You had plenty. But you didn't listen to the preachers. The men I sent. Yeah, they were men just like you are men. But they had a message from the Almighty. If you'd listened and heeded my warnings and my cautions spoken by the prophets, that time of plenty and joy would have continued. Remember, I promised it back in the Deuteronomy. There on the other side of Jordan before you crossed into the promised land Moses rehearsed it to you. All you had to do was listen and heed my voice. But you wouldn't. Hey, it's that way on this Sunday in 2019 for all of us that live in this land. We need to heed the Word of God. I was thrilled when Brother Craig got up and spoke about his message before the message this morning. It was great. I don't want to get off. If I get started on that, I'll never shut up. I don't want to do that. I can't help but tell you this. Grandma and I got 42 great-grandchildren. That's 3.5 football teams, folks. I won't even watch a football anymore because they won't respect the country. I won't even look at it. The man I held in highest esteem as a football player, I disdain because of his words about the land. That's talking about our kids. We sat and looked at one another over our coffee in the morning, our specs, and I said, aren't you glad for all those little urchins? Aren't you glad when you watch them behave and when you watch them mind their mom and daddy and they treat one another good? Oh, that thrills my soul. But that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen by accident. Anyway, I wasn't going to get on that. I'm not going. You think I am, don't you, Trent? Look at verse 8 and 9 and 10. And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment. Show mercy and compassion to every man to his brother. And oppress not the widow nor the fatherless, the stranger nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. And you can just almost see it. There they stand, listening to that and thinking in their heart, who do you think you are telling us to do this? And Zechariah would say, I'm not telling you, but the Lord of hosts is telling you. This is His word. So that word was given to Zechariah. That's why sometimes that word is in our belly bitter. The word that he was going to say again to those that had been spoken to by the prophets before their captivity. It's like God is reminding them again. And by the way, isn't that what he tells a good pastor or preacher? He said, you'll be a good pastor if you'll put them in remembrance. They're going to forget. Say it again. I tell you, I don't get tired of saying the same thing. Maybe you get tired of hearing them, but I love it. I love it. God's mercies are great toward His people. He knew what they were going to do, but He was warning them again. Execute true judgment. Don't pervert judgment. Show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. Every man. The Lord has shown us, has He not? Micah said, He's shown thee, O man, what is good. What doth the Lord require thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly before thy God or with thy God. Don't oppress widows and orphans and strangers nor the poor. It's a wicked religionist in our time who devoured a widow's houses and robbed the poor. Let none of us imagine such a thing. Certainly these Israelites were commanded to love their brethren, but we more, even our enemies. That's a tall order. Now look at verse 11. But they refused to hearken and pull away the shoulder and stop their ears that they should not hear. Look at that. They refused to listen. Pull away their shoulder. Don't talk to me. They stopped their ears that they couldn't hear. They refused to hear. It shows their contempt for the Lord God who had blessed them again and again and again. Now look at verse 12. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the word which the Lord of hosts had sent in His Spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. They made their hearts as an adamant stone. They did it. Hey, listen to me. I saw that in myself a week ago. And I read this and I can hardly believe it. I saw it in myself. Listen, except God work in us, our heart is wicked. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? God begins to deal with us and He begins to say, pay attention, even in that, with that hard heart. These desperate sinners, I guess, thought, I'm too pliable, so they harden it, make it worse. An adamant, a very hard and impenetrable stone, name given to a diamond. Such a habitual, voluntary, willful hardness, refusing to be reformed, hating to be healed, such a desperate hardness that neither ministry nor misery nor anything else could possibly soften their heart. And this they did, lest they should hear. I preached to people when I knew that that's exactly what was going on in their mind. But talk about God said this, God said that. It was like, don't say it to me. Don't say it to me. And maybe some of you sitting here like that today, listen, that's one of the worst conditions you could ever be in. They like not to hear anything that was opposed to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They boldly stood against any change. They wanted to do what they enjoyed in the flesh. They heard the prophets, but they didn't hear. They saw their preaching, but they didn't understand it because of their hard, impenitent hearts. The prophet had become, like Isaiah talks about, Ezekiel sings a very lovely song. He has a pleasant voice, like he could play well on an instrument. And they liked to hear that, but they didn't want the words. Don't say it to me. God, give us grace to look at Your word and believe it and accept it. And let it mold our life and change us. even if we find we don't want to be changed. Hey, a week ago, I didn't want to be changed. I think you've been there. I think you may be there now. I didn't want to change. But thank God, I'm His. And He changed me. And His Word was the very first thing that wrought the change in my heart. Verse 13. Therefore, it has come to pass that as He cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. In the same way that the Lord of hosts cried and they wouldn't hear, so He left them to their sin and their self. And they were stewing in it, and they were in trouble, and they couldn't change anything. And they cried out to the Lord, but the Lord wouldn't hear them. That's exactly what He teaches us in the Proverbs. He said, wisdom crieth without. She utters her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city. She uttereth her word, saying, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Because I've called, and ye refused, I've stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all of my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. That scared me to death. That made me shake. That made me tremble. Listen, you don't want God to leave you alone. You don't want God to turn you loose to your own devices. You don't want that to happen. These people didn't want that either. In verse 14, he said, but I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, and no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. The Lord God used His servant Nebuchadnezzar to go to Jerusalem like a storm. He came with a mighty army of horses, chariots, and mighty men with swords, speaking a strange language to the Jews. And God scattered them out of their comfortable place to a place where everybody talked in strange tongues, and where their comfort and ease had long fled away. Listen, don't you think for a minute that God can't put you in a place of dire straits. When He leaves you to yourself, that's where you're headed. In that strange place, they remained 70 long years, a lifetime, while the land flowing with milk and honey enjoyed her Sabbath. The land was desolate behind them. No man passed through that land, as far as we know in Scripture. Nobody. They never went back. No one went through it. It laid there dormant until the Lord chose to bring them back, that little remnant, 40,000 people out of millions of people He brought back to that land, and it's to them that He's preaching. Well, listen, I beg you, don't ever purposely harden your heart that you might not hear God's word. His word keeps us from sin, and sin keeps us from His word. Listen, sin will cure your prayer life. Sin will keep you from reading. Sin will keep you from enjoying the blessings of God. And it will carry you down the road further than you want to go. And you wonder, why did I ever do this? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The psalmist said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How precious. How precious. You know, Job was in dire straits. It wasn't because he'd done anything wrong. We just read through that again. I just loved every part of it. I got incense at his three friends. Oh, my. They called him hypocrite and everything in the world. I just was so upset with those guys. And you know what he said? He was in a bad fix. Sometimes we get almost in a fix like that. He said, behold, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, but I can't perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, and I can't behold him. He hides himself on the right hand that I can't see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the word of his mouth more than my necessary food. Glory to God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And you've got it all right there. Amen. Right there. May the Lord keep you in the book. And if he keeps you in the book, he'll keep you away from sin. It'll keep you away from rebellion. When you can't pray, get back in the book. I mean it. That's right.